well, roll call, I guess.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Trustee Sutton?
Yes.
Okay. We have the minutes before us. Is there any, are there any corrections or additions to the minutes?
I have a revision to the minutes that I would like to see added, Dr. Finney.
Yes.
In our previous meeting on November 19th, I think it was, it was in December, I think the meeting was, but at that meeting, I see that it is the term that is required. This is on page 2 at the bottom.
2 at the bottom?
Yes, 2 at the bottom. It says here on page 2 at the bottom that on the issue of the UPass that a referendum is required. And at that meeting, to the knowledge that I have, it was not determined that a referendum was required to pass any sort of new fee. And I think that that should be amended in these minutes.
Wait a minute, let me read it carefully.
Sure.
Noted that although a referendum is required on the UPass issue, similar fees have not required a referendum. Technology and fact.
And there is no fact that says that a referendum is required on the UPass issue.
Oh, what you're saying is you were misquoted?
I was misquoted.
So you misquoted yourself?
No, I didn't misquote myself. I think that it was misquoted when entered into these minutes.
Oh, okay. So what you said was?
What I said was we need to determine if whether a referendum is required. Okay. And it was not determined at that date, and no one had knowledge at that date.
So you would, then give me the words, trustee. What would you strike and what would you add?
Although, according to Dr. Polk, a referendum is required, as what he stated at that last meeting, that a referendum was required, that similar fees, including the fees that this committee passed last year, $100 technology fee, $100 facilities fee, no referendum was required, and those matters came before the board and were passed just as a matter of, just a matter of procedure. So no referendum was required, and Dr. Polk said a referendum was required.
Okay, well, let me just kind of make sure. Here there's an attribution of a quote from you, mm-hmm. a statement from you, and that says, Trustee Sutton noted that although a referendum is required.
And I would like to amend that although Dr. Polk says that a referendum is required.
Trustee Sutton, I think that what you want to do is you cannot amend minutes. What you can do is you can correct them.
Because that's what I would like to do.
They were misrepresented what you said.
Yes, sir.
All right, so I've asked that you correct what you said.
Okay.
So you can't state your argument. What you have to do is give me the exact words that you want to have stricken here, mm-hmm. As corrections, as representing what you said. Okay.
Okay.
So if you just take a moment and look at this and tell me what to strike and what to add in order to correct the minutes, then I think that we can deal with the minutes. The discussion and debate, or the matter between what your interpretation of referendum and Dr. Polk's is another matter.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we're solely focused on correcting the minutes.
Okay. So okay. In this line, the first was one sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Trustee Sutton noted that, although, add here, according to Dr. Polk, a referendum is required on the UPass issue, continue forward.
Okay. Now, what you're saying at this particular point, so real clear, and this is all we're doing, is correcting what you said.
Okay.
We have no transcript at this particular point to reflect, though I suspect there's one. We'll take you for your word. So you're saying, Trustee Sutton noted that although, according to Dr. Polk, a referendum is required on the UPass issue, da 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 da. All right. So you have the right at this particular point to say that this is a misquote of you. All right. Now, at a subsequent conversation, Dr. Polk, I'm sure, is going to say something about this. All right. But that's okay. We're just correcting the minutes right now, okay?
Okay.
All right, now the chair will entertain a motion to approve the minutes as corrected.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I agree with your procedure, obviously. I don't want to get involved in he said, she said, over the minutes. The fact of the matter is that if we are correcting the minutes, any reference to my name will be corrected also, because I don't recall saying that a referendum was required. I don't recall saying that.
Okay.
Just for the record.
Okay. Dr. Polk has represented Trustee Sutton that that he does not recall advising to this body that a referendum was required. That's his statement. Are you still standing by what you think you said?
Dr. Polk just stated that he didn't recall, and I don't want to drag this issue on. It is my recollection of the procedure that day that Dr. Polk did state that, so I do want to stand by what I said. And so I don't know how we are going to proceed.
What we'll do is we will ask you if there are any other corrections that you would have to the minutes.
No.
All right, if there are no other corrections that I have to the minutes, then we will we'll approve the minutes, all parts of the minutes, with the exception of this particular section, and then we'll visit the transcript, which has been set up, and we will then determine what was actually said by you and Dr. Polk.
Okay.
Fair enough?
Fair enough.
All right, all in favor of the motion, signify by the same sign of
aye. Aye.
So ordered. We are now at the contracts over $250,000. I think that who's going to make this report? Am I following this agenda?
Mr. Walker said that there is no contract over here.
Okay, so there's no report?
No.
All right, the Chicago Transit Authority UPass matter. Dr. Polk?
Yes, Dr. Johnson.
Good morning, thank you, Mr. Chair. You have in your book the work that was compiled by the committee with respect to the UPass. At this point, I plan to work with the student body leadership to put together a methodology to survey the student body to determine their will with respect to the UPass, and we will do this with a level of dispatch. I was informed we will do this with a level of dispatch. We will not drag this out. I was informed earlier this week that indeed a referendum was held, but I was not able to determine the year that the referendum was held. I read some historical information with respect to the UPass in 1998. The fee was 50 cents per day. The information that I read from the referendum, the fee was 58 cents a day. I also read another communication with the CTA in 2003. The fee then was 71 cents a day. So this referendum was done somewhere between 1998 and 2003. But indeed, a referendum was held at that particular time.
And what happened with respect to the referendum?
I was not able to determine.
The referendum was not conclusive, or you have not been able to determine?
I'm not able to determine. I had a series of ballots, and I'm not sure how many referendums were held at that particular time. Clearly, there shouldn't have been any names on it. There were no dates on them, so I was not able to determine.
What was it?
Mr. Sutton, if
there were no names on a referendum, how did this? Where is this document? First of all,
I have them. Mr. Jackson shared them with me.
Okay.
And I have. Of course, there are no names on them. They have the last four digits of their Social Security number to identify them and their date of birth.
Okay, and that's all. It didn't have a.
Yes, it had. Yes, no, but I have a stat of you know, well over, you know, well over a thousand ballots.
And you've not been able to determine whether or not, based on what you saw there, that that was a passing referendum or a failing referendum?
I could not tell, because some were, they were printed in different fonts, they were printed in different colors. I didn't know if this was one referendum or several. I just have a stack of ballots.
All right, any more, you have any more matters to advise us on this particular issue?
Not at this particular point with respect to the UPass.
All right, let me, let's, this tends to be a bone of contention at this particular point. And what I really want to try to do is to have consensus on this. I did have a conversation with the administration 3 days ago, I believe it was. Not yesterday, 2 days ago.
Two days ago.
At which I was advised that there had been an earlier meeting to brief up, give Trustee Reynolds a briefing on this matter. And out of it, what I got was this, and this is for the public. I understood that Trustee Reynolds and I were both briefed that the UPass matter would affect every student that was a full-time student at Chicago State University, and that the total population of the school was 30,500, give or take, students full-time. I was given to understand that some of those students owned their own car and did not use public transportation to get to and from school, and that there was a large enough, it was the judgment of the administration that there was a large enough group of students that would not require the UPass so that they could take public transportation, that would suggest that they ought to be consulted. The entire population ought to be consulted through a referendum. And that the administration felt that a referendum was appropriate. All right? That's what I understood.
That's correct.
Trustee Reynolds, I think, was persuaded by the wisdom that a referendum would be required. I joined with him in thinking that under the circumstances and the information that I was provided, that a referendum would not be required. Let's put it this way, that a referendum would be a good way to consult with the students. Let's not deal with required, because neither one of us had any document that said that there was a requirement in the bylaws of this body to suggest that that would be the case. But I think it was out of a sense of fairness that it was thought that a referendum should take place, given that each student would be required to pay, I think, $104 or $5 of a fee in order to make this UPass work. And thereby, they should be consulted. I don't know, then I talked to Trustee Sutton, and he advised me that in the past, for elections and wherever there was a need for student participation in voicing their concern and or approval of a matter, it was always difficult to get the students to participate. He represented to me, and he can speak for himself, that he thought that the referendum or a referendum would not necessarily attract a large number of students to vote, mainly because, and I think that I can use the term apathy, I think he ascribed in matters like this a sense that the student body here at Chicago State was somewhat apathetic. I listened to both him, I listened to you, I listened to Dr. Pogue, I listened to Trustee Reynolds. And I think that what I concluded was that it probably is a good thing to be on record having consulted the students on this particular matter, the entire student body. But I was equally persuaded that in a democracy, you cannot arbitrarily say what constitutes a majority. A majority is determined by the majority of people who vote for or against. And I don't know whether or not we can establish a quorum of voting, which means that I don't know if we can say that unless 51% of the student body participate in an election or in a referendum, that the referendum is valid or not valid. I don't know if we can do that. What I know is that in local elections, in this city and to the degree the United States of America, and in many instances in referendum, and in this particular instance, I am persuaded and advised by the referendums of that would preclude the sale of alcoholic beverages. In those instances, it is a simple majority of the people who voted that determines whether or not a liquor referendum or any other referendum is pertained, unless it was so set forth in the referendum the terms and conditions out of which the referendum would go forward and thereby be valid. Or if we look at the elections, and let's take automatic elections that I most recently was involved with at the real local level, there were 19,000 people who were eligible to vote in the 20th ward for alderman of the city of the city of the city of Chicago for the 20th ward. On March the 4th, 2007, 6,000 people voted out of 19,000, 2,000 voted for the incumbent, 4,000 voted for the person who ran against the incumbent. The election was valid, and the new alderman was certified. So what am I saying with this illustration? If we do consult with the student body, I think that it's going to be a challenge for us to establish what constitutes eligibility to vote. That may not be much of a challenge. What constitutes a valid referendum? Can we say that 51% of the students have to vote in order for the referendum to be valid, one way or the other? I don't know if we can say that. But what I can say is that if we do a advisory referendum or if we do a referendum in this particular instance, it would occur to me that we should be, it should be one that we have thought through carefully, and that if our attorney, who's not here today, wants to give us some guidance as to how that referendum ought to be affected, I'm just giving you an opinion, I'm not a lawyer. I think that we might be so advised. But be clear that at this particular point, my advice and thinking is that should we go through this process and widely indicate that there is a referendum to vote on this matter, and should something less than 51% of the student body votes for the UPass, and they are the majority of the total voter, then it would be my opinion right now that the vote would be valid, and thereby the UPass matter would become operational at this institution. Now, what does that simply say? Let's assume that 500 students vote, and 300 students vote for, and 200 students vote against. The issue is, did the referendum pass or not? You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So in this particular instance, I think that while we may say, let's go to the referendum, we have to make absolutely sure that we are clear that in most elections, even for the exercise of the most sacred franchise that we have, which is the vote for our elected officers. Whoever, the number of people who are eligible to vote in many instances falls way up, far short of how many people actually vote. I would submit, though, with the exception of this past election for President of the United States of America, then there was an overwhelming voter turnout for that office. But by and large, we Americans do not participate in great number in any elections. So I don't think that we are going to find a lot of precedent coming from our council that says that if you've got 3,500 members of the student body, that 1,751 students must vote either pro or con on the matter for the referendum to pass. Okay?
Yes.
So I think that that would be my wisdom and suggestion that we call up contact Mark Dunn and advise him of what we're talking about doing, and then let him refer to this matter or consult with whatever council he chooses to consult with as it relates to referendum and or election law as we understand it in the state of Illinois. Okay?
Thank you.
Is that fair enough?
Well, I have my own opinion
right
related
ahead.
To this issue. You said that you met with Dr. Polk yesterday or the day before?
2 days ago.
It was 2 days ago. And I understand that Trustee Reynolds met with Dr. Polk 2 days ago. And I've been trying to meet with Dr. Polk for quite some time now. I've communicated with his office, and I've gotten no feedback from his office as to his availability or the time that we can meet. Now, just as you are a trustee on this board, although you're the chairman of this board, I'm a trustee on this board, and I have a vote in every matter that comes before this board except for tenure. And I believe that I should have been also consulted by this administration on this UPass issue in the 11th hour, Trustee Finney.
Okay.
We've been dealing with this issue since last year, last semester, when the UPass subcommittee, consisting of Dr. Polk, myself, Dr. Johnson, and the SGA president, were charged to look at the all of the data and the logistics that are associated with bringing this UPass to campus. And we've been doing that. And to my knowledge, until I was informed by the SGA president, who had an evening meeting on Monday night with Dr. Johnson, that the administration has had a sort of a premonition that we need to move toward, a referendum.
Okay, well, let me try to put this in a pack because I don't want to have to adjourn this meeting.
I'm not going to stay that long either.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I guess my point is this: in deference to you and what you advised, be clear and listen to what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting that there might very well be a referendum, and I'm suggesting that there may be an organized effort to make sure that the vote gets out. I'm suggesting that there's a good likelihood that council will come back and say, whoever votes, whether they, as long as they're eligible, and whichever the count of the majority would win, and that's where we go. That's in deference, Trustee Sutton, to what you've advised me of, and that is we are likely to expect something less, far less than 50% or 51% or 50 and 1 vote out of the student body. And that in that particular instance, it would mean that whatever the referendum was, there's a good chance that enough students who are interested will show up. And if the organizers of the campaign to make UPass valid prevail, the UPass matter will be settled. I would also want to say that that's kind of where I'm going. And I would like to be able to move on with this. Trustee Sutton advises me painfully that he would like to think that he was able to get this matter settled one way or the other before his term and graduation occurs later this year. And so I'm urgently wanting to get this matter before, out of deference to him as a member of this Board of Trustees, where he served with, in my judgment, with distinction. With respect to the matter of access to the president, be advised, Trustee Sutton, that I sought the meeting with the president because I wanted to be briefed up before the Board of Trustees meeting, which does not occur until March. The president indicated that he could meet with me and I think the first week in March, and I thought that it was unwise, there was too much time. So the president of the school, I think, has a full agenda. I can't speak to him why, speak to his issue of his inability to make room for you. But I know that when it came to, with all of his duties, making room and time, given faculty meetings, et cetera, administrative meetings, it's a hectic thing. So I don't want you to think that I had any kind of proprietary posture with the president with respect to a meeting. You follow me? I had to wait in line to get a meeting myself. And I understood it because I understand the president of the school has a big area of responsibility and his schedule is often full. That having been said, I'd like to be able to move on with this particular matter. I'd like to be able to say, Mr. Johnson, that I've asked Dr. Williams to immediately contact Dr. Mark Dunn, get a legal opinion from him as to the terms and conditions under which we could run the referendum. Let's get the referendum or the advisory referendum done, and let's see what happens on this particular matter, okay?
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chair, with due respect, it's hard, quite honestly, to sit here and to be charged of not being accessible to anybody on this campus, anybody. We talked as recent as lunch yesterday when I went over there. The president of SGA is sitting there. I agreed to sit with you and the president later yesterday afternoon, but you didn't show up. I know that there are times when appointments are made and you don't show up. Beyond talking about the UPass, I cannot sit here and have someone say in a public meeting that Frank Polk was unavailable because I have tons of meetings all day on the sidewalks, in buildings, and everywhere else. So I am completely available to talk about anything. And Mr. Chair, I just had to clear that up.
I appreciate that, Mr. President, and let me say this. I'm not, please don't take my remarks as suggesting that I didn't think you were available. I was trying to at least have Trustee Sutton understand that I had no greater access to you than he does. That was my intent of my comments. Because I think that as far as I'm concerned, you're accessible. It then does matter about scheduling, and I understand that. But anyway, I'm wanting to move on. Your chairman has about 20 minutes left before I'm going to have to run out of here. So we're going to have to move forward fairly swiftly on this one. So again, as I've said before, let us move with this. Let me also say that we have an indication of the number of institutions that do, in fact, offer the UPass. And it's a lengthy list of schools that offer UPass. I'm sure, Dr. Johnson, you have a copy of this. And several of them are public institutions, not to say the least, the University of Illinois, and then several city colleges. I don't know how they arrived at the decision to do the UPass. That would take additional research. I do appreciate the fact that in the time of recession, when student fees and tuition tends to be on the incline versus the decline, it may be appropriate to have some sort of advisory consultation with the student body, give them an opportunity to vote up or down on this particular matter before we implement it. That's an opinion, one opinion of one board member, but I'm, okay?
Thank you.
All right. I think that the next item will be the IRS revival. That's Nancy Hart. She's not here, so we're not going to.
She's here.
Oh, is she? Okay. Now, counsel.
Good morning.
Make this as lay as you can and as short as you can. Don't give the technical explanation you gave to me the other day.
All right.
Ain't nobody going to understand it.
Okay. The Internal Revenue Service has recently restated and has accumulated all their guidelines and revisions to their policies and procedures since 1963, and they have basically mirrored the 401k, which makes Chicago State University responsible in a number of areas for administrating the benefit to its employees. So this is an information item. The law, when it was to go into effect, effective January 1, 2009, it's been extended to December 31st, 2009. And this, we wanted to present as an information item to the board.
Does it require a vote of the body?
No, it does not.
Okay, thank you very much. Athletics?
Athletics, with all due respect, has been referred for further study.
Thank you very much. Convocation?
Good morning. Briefly, as you stated, I'd just like to say that there's a misperception that this building is complete in its construction. As you can see from the packet that I turned in, that is not true, and that throughout the past year there's been actually a considerable amount of construction going on in the building, with construction that is still needed to get it to the point to reach its potential. So therefore, as of right now, it has not reached that point yet. As for the grant money, we need two major projects that will start at the completion of the basketball season to be completed in order to move forward in the correct way. And that would be fixing the rigging in the ceiling and redoing the concession stands. That will then allow us to be able to fully book the building for outside shows and get in revenue that way. That will also be followed by supplementing the current sound and lighting system, which will help the internal events also. Some of which right now we're working on would be the President's Spring Convocation, the Honors Convocation, graduation. By purchasing those items, we will therefore not have to rent them in the future. The events that are coming up externally, actually, that I wanted to announce, really, are that this Saturday, there's a cheerleading competition from 9:30 to 5, which is bringing in 53 high school cheer teams from Illinois and Northern Indiana. It's free to the public, but it's a great recruiting tool to get high school students into the arena and the university. That's going to be followed by a show by Second City in April, which will have deeply discounted tickets for it, both employees and students. In May, we are going to have it's an organization called Lucha Libre, and it's a wrestling federation that markets toward the Latino community. They will be holding a competition here, and then Katea Sem and myself have actually been working with an organization called For Black Youth and No Stab Investors, and we have agreed to partner with them for four concerts, the first of which will be May 2nd with Common and probably Flo Rida, somebody else. There's a couple in there. And not only is that going to bring in revenue for the building, but it's going to set up scholarships through the foundation also. And the good news on the cheering event is that they've already rebooked for next year.
Any questions? Trustee Sutton?
None.
You have not presented a matter that required a vote?
No, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The budget, Dean Justman.
Thank you. Good morning. And I will be very brief, sir. And the materials that you have include a report relative to the budget that contained information as of January. I just want to say a few words to bring that forward. We know that since that time, we have a new governor. We have the governor's budget address delayed by 1 month from February 18th. Now it will be held on March 18th. So that's important information that we don't have at this point as we plan for fiscal year 2010. And then lastly, the skyrocketing projections of state operating deficits, which in December we were hearing numbers of $500 million, $2.5 billion in January, as much as $9 billion being reported as a state operating deficit in the beginning of February. What does all this mean for Chicago State University? It means that we anticipate a deep budget cut to our base budget. Our counterparts at other Illinois public universities have the same concern. We think that the cut could be in the neighborhood of 10%. It might be less, it might be more. This would be a larger budget reduction than we have experienced previously. We had a $1 million reduction in 2002 because of employee health care costs, $2.5 million reduction in FY 2003, and a $3.5 million reduction in fiscal year 2004. These are all additive. What would be the impact of a 10% reduction to our budget now? In excess of $4 million. In addition to that, there is the proposal from the IB.
You say in excess of $4 million?
Yes, sir. In excess
that's your,
of.
That's your sense of if we took a 10% hit, it would be $4 million?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And then in addition, there is a proposal from the IBHE on elimination of lump sum appropriations. Specifically, they pointed to the $1 million lump sum appropriation we had for operations and maintenance expense of the Convocation Center. Remember, we never received any budget to support that building or the new library. They also pointed to the $150,000 support for the Doctorate of Educational Leadership Program. There is in excess then of another $1 million there. If that were
you got a million and 150, that's 11. That's 1,150.
Yes, correct.
Okay, so what you're now projecting, worst case, is $5 million increase in revenue that might otherwise come from appropriations.
Yes, and it's actually $4,050,000 dollars. So if we add that all up together, now we're at 5.2. Mm-hmm. Now on top of that. We do have contracted increases for two of our unions, our largest union, UPI, and then also plant operating engineers. Those are both contracted for 2010 at 3.5% increases. The cost there, $780,000. So adding all those numbers together, we are looking at a budget impact that we might have to accommodate of $6 million. This is an extremely significant sum. We've taken some immediate steps, including, of course, a hiring freeze for all but critical hires. And then under Dr. Pogue, the Finance Committee is establishing budget criteria, prioritization criteria that will inform reallocation decisions of existing resources and also examination of potential cost-cutting measures, stopping the bleeding. What are those things that we're doing now that we no longer can afford to do? And the Finance Committee then is continuing to work on planning for these potential budget contingencies.
Thank you very much. What about revenue? What about increase in revenue in other sources?
We are taking a look at tuition and fee increases. Also in thinking very long and hard about affordability for our students, and then also our relationship to our peer institutions. The other Illinois public universities, many of them are saying that they are not going to be having tuition actions decisions until April or even May. I think that's precipitous here is knowing what the recommendations from the governor will be on March 18th. One of our institutions has announced their tuition increases for next year for new students and graduate students, and that's Northeastern Illinois University, and they've announced at 11.4%.
Dr. Johnson, could you join, just pull your chair up here. It seems to me that We need to think about revenue generators. And especially in the light, and I'm sure the president will join in with me in this one, especially in light of the possibility of a draconian cut at somewhere in the neighborhood of $6 million. If that cut is taken in effect, no matter what the paradigm that the president has directed Dean Justman to use in order to see where the cuts would be less painful, and I'm sure that's what he intends, the likelihood that there be no pain is between zero and none. That means that we have to look carefully. And Mr. Vice President, I think that you might want to take a hard look at the enrollment. And I think that you need to take a hard look again to see whether or not some of those people we denied admission to, some 393, we might be able to accept, all right, for the fall enrollment, all right? Make sure that we did not arbitrarily, that we use every bit of a review we could, because those students that we denied bring money into this school that help pay for the faculty and help pay for jobs and people not having to lose their jobs. Now, I know that some of them may be challenging, but these are challenging times. And while I know that our teaching staff is often stressed, I also know that it's better to have a job teaching even students that are difficult to teach than no job. And so those 393 students that we denied admission, if we can find justification for admitting some or all of them, we would be looking at almost $3.5 million of non-appropriated revenue that may help us stay afloat. Now, I have absolutely no desire to be the chairman of this institution and watch us go down the drain, not on my watch. So I want us to do everything we can, exploring revenue sources to see whether or not we can keep this place going. And when we pass this institution over to the new president, I would like to be able to say that we have didn't invite you to join on a sinking ship. And so we've got, I want them to be encouraged. I'd like for you to work with the president, of course, and Dean Justman, and then the rest of the faculty. And I'm saying this really because I know that the faculty, in many instances, feels that sometimes the students that come from the Chicago Public Schools are hard to teach because they've not been adequately prepared for college to come in. But I ask each one of those faculty people to think about the colleague that they have grown to care about and love as a part of this faculty team that may not be here because we don't have enough money to pay them. Okay?
I'll assure you that that's exactly what we're doing.
Thank you very much.
Trustee Fannie, I just wanted to announce this morning around 8:15, I was on a phone with some of my legislative colleagues. The governor announced this morning that the deficit will go is going to go up to about $11 billion as opposed to $9 billion. And there has been a bipartisan cut committee that has been established by Speaker Madigan and also President Cullerton to look at cuts immediately after the governor's budget address. So just wanted to share that. It looks worse than what we... As of February, it's even worse.
Okay.
$7.9 billion.
All right. Preliminary budget, Dean Justman, you have anything else to add?
On the budget, no. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Dr. Kenneth Caroma, you have anything to add? Okay. Thank you very much. Mr. Meehan, do you have anything that you need to bring before us that would be enlightening?
Nothing in addition to the comments made at our pre-meeting.
Is there anything you need to advise the public of?
No, I'm not.
Thank you very much. Mr. Frizzell? Yes, come on.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was asked at the last board meeting or finance committee meeting by Trustee Reynolds to give an update on the accounting department. As we all know, we do have some weaknesses and breakdowns in the past in the accounting department. Since my start date of May 2008, my assessment of the situation has been to improve internal controls and to work collectively as a team within the accounting department and also with the co-parts within the university. Also, I want to keep this brief. My assessment has also been to focus on staff development and training. I now have regular monthly meetings with my accounting staff to go over audit issues, new mandates, status of different jobs that we may have in the queue, and reports that are due quarterly and monthly. I'm also working on outside training with my staff, and that would be to include the National Association of College and University Business to get in monthly training to update us also on new mandates and anything new that would be presented from the state of Illinois. We have also started a new student project regarding the property reconciliation. That has been a big task of mine to get that cleaned up. And we have partnered with the College of Business to do that. Some of the things that we've done to date, we've brought in 5 students from the College of Business to help assist us in reconciling the physical items that the university owns. We've also trained the students on some of the systems and location codes to enable us to help us reconcile that project. Staffing levels, since May of 2008, I've brought on 2 new associate accountants, very competent accountants to help assist on the monthly, quarterly, and annual tasks that were left behind in the past, i.e. would be simple reconciliation of bank accounts that were not being done in the past that are currently up to date now. That would conclude my report. I just wanted to give
an update. Trustee Sutton, do you have anything to do since you're a business major?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Cately?
Good day.
I'm sorry.
Asim,
I'm sorry.
Good morning, sir.
You know what, Mr.
Cately?
Yes, sir.
Everybody says Kate and nobody ever says Asim. I'm sorry, please accept my apology.
That's okay. I accept it in good spirit. I have, out of respect for your time, I have submitted a report to you. I don't know if you have any specific questions.
Let me say this. I had to rush out on you the last for the briefing, but one of the things that I now have in my possession is your audit, and I've just received it today. I'd like to have a one-on-one meeting with you to go over the audit and to go over the program. The reason I ask you for the audit in the first place, where it was it kind of helps me understand what's going on from the number side. And so if I could defer talking to you, and then if Trustee Sutton also wants to meet with you one-on-one, I think that we're both challenged because we cannot hold a meeting outside of the open meeting when both of us are present. But if he wants to meet with you with respect to the audit and or the audit findings, I think that would be appropriate. But I will ask Dr. Williams to set up a meeting between you and I, and we go over the audit and any questions I have therein, okay?
I'd be delighted to do that.
Okay.
Just so that the record reflects that there are no findings, there was a single.
Well, see, I didn't have the benefit of looking at it. I don't know whether there were findings or not.
No.
Okay. Do we have a management letter?
Just one advisory management. Yeah, there is a management letter.
Okay. You may want to bring that with.
Unqualified opinion.
Unqualified opinion is one thing. Management letter is something totally different. So it it comments on other issues. So if they did give you a management letter, then you might want to send it to me via email, or when we meet one-on-one, we can go over it.
I'll do that.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Mr. Sutton, do you have any comments, final
no.
comments?
No.
Okay. Mr. President, do you have any comments?
No.
Well, hearing no comments, the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
You have an employee.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Really quick, I know that you need to leave. I don't think this is my, okay. Really quick, I know that you need to leave. One of the things that, and I don't want to drag the UPass any longer, one of the things that we're missing out is that the students that were represented, who were voted on by the entire student body to represent the students, the entire body, the Student Government Association, has voted on the UPass. So we've already represented the students within the referendum to pass the referendum. And I just wanted to bring that to you, because I don't know if it's an oversight, but bring that to you, to the forefront within the conversation.
Thank you so much, brother. You are Trustee
Jackson, Student Government President.
Yes, I heard you, and believe me, if there's one person that has put this case before me over and over again, it is Trustee Sutton. Every possible angle, he has not left a stone unturned, arguing that this UPass ought to go. And certainly he made that clear to me. And so all I can say is that I understand the challenge that we have as a Board of Trustees is to be transparent and open. And it would have been very interesting at the time of the election if on the ballot also there had been a referendum that said, or a question that said, would you vote for or against the UPass? That would have helped us be better informed. But I gather that it wasn't because nobody thought about it. Yes, sir.
Good morning. My name is David Johnson, SGA Vice President. To add on to what our fellow president here has just brought to mention, when tuition and fees are increased, there is no referendum held and voted on by the student body. So why do we need a referendum to be held to be voted on for the CTA UPass?
Do you trust Mr. Sutton?
Yes, I trust him.
In his competency?
Yes.
What makes you think he didn't make that argument already?
I'm pretty sure he did. I want to bring it to the forefront of everyone here.
Okay. He did make that argument already. And I think the response is and was, at least from what I can see, is that even though when we look at the other fees that students pay, everybody benefits. In this particular instance, we might find that only a few benefit and yet all have to pay. That's the difference. But several times, I'm going to ask you to respect my schedule right now. I've got to get all the way downtown and have a meeting and then be back on campus by 12 o'clock for this search committee, presidential search committee report. So I've got a lot of ground to travel. So the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
A second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
So order.